Hello, and quite possibly goodbye. This is Dante Arutia.
And Avril Chauhan.
And you are about to join the journey of our podcast, First and Last, for what will be an extravagant adventure. When you saw our episode title, you were probably more than likely confused as to what we mean by a supreme baby. Well, this is a term we have coined. Yes, we made it up on our very own to refer to genetically engineered human beings. According to Life Science, genetic engineering can be defined as the process of using technology to change the genetic makeup of an organism, be it an animal, plant, or bacterium.
Now, one of the most controversial topics surrounding genetic engineering relates around a technology known as CRISPR. CRISPR stands for Clusters of Regularly Interspaced Short Palindromic Repeats, and it is a tool that can literally edit genome sequences to perform correct tasks or to fix mutations. Through CRISPR, is efficient. Making permanent alterations to an embryo raises ethical concerns and whether or not professionals should be allowed to change a baby's DNA without their consent. Okay, now we're gonna talk to Mrs. Corby, who is a biology teacher at Prior Lake High School, and she is very knowledgeable about the topic of genetic engineering and CRISPR, so let's introduce Ms. Corby. Hey.
Hi.
So the first question that I have for you is, could you like give us a brief rundown on what CRISPR is and like how this technology works?
Sure. So CRISPR is using editing techniques from viruses that can find different parts of a genetic sequence and chop them out. And so scientists have figured out ways that we can use that sort of gene editing to do things other than what a virus would use them for. So ways that we could get this editing tool to find a damaged gene that might be causing disease, cut it out, and replace, and then it gets replaced with a healthy gene.
All right, from your perspective, what do you think are some issues that are surrounding the topic of genetic engineering right now?
I think that people get nervous about the idea that if we can engineer DNA, it will start with this focus of we're just doing it to prevent diseases or disorders, but it will lead to designer babies. That once we have that technology, we'll be editing superhumans. And I think that becomes uncomfortable for people. Like, where do you draw the line between this is a disease versus this is just enhancement, right? So like, I think a lot of people are comfortable with the idea that gene engineering could be used in, say, fighting cancer, but would it be allowed for treating something like diabetes? Or what about, what if you could get lower intelligence just to be average? Is that treating a disorder or a disease, or is it just enhancing? I think that's one of the issues where people get kind of anxious.
Okay, that makes sense. So leading into the designer babies topic, do you think that parents and physicians should be allowed to modify their kids' DNA in order to like make them perfect?
Personally, no, but there are a lot of ethics established in what is okay for gene editing and what isn't. And this fall, a professor in China announced that he had done the first gene editing on human embryos. And so the story that followed was that there are twin girls that have had their DNA altered, and specifically their white blood cells don't have receptors that makes those white blood cells sort of protected against HIV infection. So again, like that broke the laws of this is how we ethically perform experimentation, and it's under this explanation that it's preventing disease. But there's also research that says that could lead to, it's like also associated with higher intelligence. And so, you know, I feel like until we know more, it's not great that we're engineering on embryos, but the professor is like suffered consequences because of this, so he's not just like allowed to keep going with it. I think too, you know, things that originally seem really shocking sort of become more normalized as they become more common. And I think sometimes that's good and sometimes it's concerning. For example, lots of parents now can have children through in vitro fertilization. And so at the time that sounded like really unnatural. You're, you know, combining sperm and egg in a test tube and then putting that in a woman's body so that she can have a child. And now I feel like since it's become more common, people are more accepting of it. That feels different, though, than editing designer babies. And I think there is a certain push of, like, when technology becomes more commonplace, then people just become more accepting of it. I think it's important to ask bigger questions of, should we be tinkering with babies' DNA?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, thank you so much for your time, and you gave us some really good explanation from like a parent and expert's perspective.
Yeah, good luck with your project.
All right, so now we have Mr. Meacham, a chemistry teacher at Prior Lake High School. Thank you for being on the podcast. A couple questions we just want to ask you.
Okay, so the first question, 6 in 10 Americans are for genetic engineering for the purposes of preventing disease or illness in their child later in life. Do you believe that we should have access to this technology for these purposes?
I think it would be beneficial for people to have access to this technology, regardless of how much money they make or anything like that. I'm in sort of this unique position right now where I just found out that I myself am having a baby, right? And so I kind of, in the past, haven't really needed to think about something like this, but let's just say a few months from now, they find out something is genetically wrong, some sort of coding has gone on at the genetic level that will result in my kid's life now being harder or something about it, right? If you're giving me the opportunity to do something about that, not only do I want to do it for my own kid, but I want to do it, if it's not my kid, I look at it more as like a moral thing. If I knowingly have this option of, you know, reducing the effects or completely eliminating, say, multiple sclerosis from this kid that's being born, why wouldn't I pursue that sort of thing? And so that's just kind of how I feel about it. But if you have the capability and you have the knowledge, why not take preventative steps? That's kind of where I sit on it.
Mm-hmm. That's what a lot of people agree on.
Some people are against it because they think it's ethically wrong or it goes against their religious beliefs. What would you say to someone that is against genetic engineering based upon their religious belief?
I personally think that's totally fine. If you want to hold that belief, that's just like any other belief. If you want to be against that, that's fine. I don't think that particular belief should dictate policy, as far as it being federal law to ban it or for it, whatever. I think that there are definite arguments to be made about being against it that aren't so much moral or ethical, but are more so what happens when human beings get access to a very powerful technology, whether it be nuclear bombs, or just since the discovery of bacteria and disease and germs, how we can use those things for the greater good, but also how you can imagine scenarios in which this could be used for a very bad outcome if put in the wrong hands. So I kind of treat it like any other form of technology or advancement in science, where it's like, if you want to do the most good, you got to make sure it's regulated somehow, make sure that certain people who are responsible with it have access to it, and not making it some sort of just off, you know, on the street, kind of off the market thing in which Joe Schmo can buy, and all of a sudden you end up with a very much different equity class, basically, of these superhumans versus, you know, regular people, sort of thing like that. So I think there's valid concerns, but I don't think those concerns are, the concerns that I'm concerned about are not particularly religiously motivated or philosophically motivated in some spiritual way.
Okay, so do you think genetic engineering can benefit humanity as a whole? Why or why not?
Yeah, definitely. it can also do a lot of harm as a, from a society point of view. But in terms of just kind of going back to the original thing, even if it's something like, hey, you don't have, if I want my kid to have 20/20 vision, right? If I'm born and I can't, you know, I have glasses, so I can't, I don't see very well. But if, not to say that this is some life-altering thing, but it's like, even if there's something little like that, in terms of physically benefiting humanity, certainly. But the larger effects of that, if we can allow people to live a longer and happier and more meaningful life, then I think that there's a greater probability for a higher good to be achieved. If there's more people doing more things, having more ability, as opposed to, you know, having X amount of people that end their life short because of some, pre-birth defect, basically, that happened that they weren't in control of, that they didn't have an option or anything like that. If there's something that we can do about that, I think it definitely has the ability to, I think there's more good that can come from it than bad, but the bad could be really bad, you know what I mean? And so I think, again, just keeping a careful eye on it, just like we do with nuclear bombs, you know, you don't want just certain people having them, and so we try to take preventative measures to not let them have them. So it'll be interesting to see what happens, but I think I'm very interested to see what happens in the next 50 or so years for all of us, as far as how we're impacted by it, not only us, but our kids and kids after them.
Perfect. That was a really interesting perspective. Thank you for helping us and giving us some insight.
Right on.
Thank you.
According to Stat News, 65% of Americans think it should be illegal to edit the genes of an unborn baby to prevent illness. After hearing from two teachers who majored in science and are either already or soon to be parents, we question if one's opinion would change if they were the parent in this scenario. So before we can really make opinions of genetic engineering, the ethical concerns must be considered greatly, and time needs to be spent on the rules of such a controversial issues.
All right. To all our fans and supporters, we thank you. Without your help, this podcast may have never happened. We greatly appreciate Mr. Burrell and Mrs. Corby for taking the time out of their day to be featured on our episode of If Supreme Were a Baby and telling us about their perspectives on genetic engineering. This is Dante Arutia
and Avril Shahan
signing off.
Somebody once told me the world is gonna roll me. I ain't the sharpest tool in the shed.